Welcome to Conquering Dreams with the legendary motivational speaker, C.B. Baker. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, here's C.B. Baker.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Conquering Dreams. This is your host, C.B. Baker. Wow. We had a great first episode of the new season with Grow, and we talked about mentoring. Now, I've got a really good guest up here today that's going to bring us a little bit of insight on how to deal with your finances and also retirement. Her name is Tashari Berry, and she's out of Kentucky, Lexington, Kentucky. And so welcome to the show, Tashari.
Thank you. Greatly appreciate it. It's an honor to be here.
So now I have a little bit of history of Kentucky. I used to live in a little small town called Orangeboro, Kentucky. Are you familiar with Orangeboro?
I'm familiar with the name, but not familiar with the location.
Okay, yes, out on the western side of, well, not west, but it's like mid in the middle of Kentucky a little bit, near the Tennessee border. So,
gotcha.
Yeah. So, yeah, my dad moved around a lot, so we spent a little time there at a GE plant. That's where he worked at, a GE plant.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So let's get into you. What is it that you do?
So I am a financial advisor, and I happen to own a registered investment advisory firm. And that's all that means is that I help people get into the right mindset with their finances so that they can achieve their financial dreams. And specifically what I do is I meet with people, figure out what are their main financial goals, and I help figure out strategies and ways for us to achieve that through investing in the market. So I really like to say I have people make money while they sleep by investing in the market. In the market, I mean in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and other type of financial instruments.
You know, what's really interesting about this topic is I'm pretty sure you're aware that Tony Robbins wrote two books recently on that. One being the Money Mastering the Game, and the other one I think is Unshakable. That's the name of that book, and he dives into like the game of money and how the wealthy keep getting more rich by playing the game of being wealthy and playing the game of money. So he did mention in there about the fiduciary people that who are like mandated to, make sure everything's in your best interest. Cause there's so many horror stories out there, people going to these mutual funds or going to investment bankers or whatever. And long story short, getting screwed over by what happens.
Right. Yeah, you're exactly right. Being a registered investment advisor, it's a new term. It's a new title. And when I say new, it's not really new, but it's new to, it's new to majority of Americans. And I've been in the industry for a little over 5 years, but I didn't find out about it until only a few years ago, So I was looking for something like it, but didn't really know it existed. So in my research, I was like, oh my gosh, this is what I've been looking for, because exactly what you're saying, the fiduciary responsibility means I'm legally obligated to only put you in investments that are in your best interest and not in the interest of myself of how I'm going to get paid from it. So my background, I don't know if we want to go ahead and go into my background, but my background, I work with one of the top financial industries in the nation, and I served as a broker dealer. And on a broker dealer, you have similar responsibilities, but you get paid a commission. So if I buy a stock for you, I get paid. If I sell that very same stock for you 30 days later, I still get paid. So the motivation, even though, I still have my client's best interest at heart, but even through our training, we were literally trained to call people on the same people on a monthly basis to get our basic living expenses covered. Anything on top of that is just extra spending. I mean, the fact that I was trained to do that, it was very unsettling for me. Right. So that is why I was like, okay, I need to get in here, gain the information, gain the knowledge, and I need to get out,
Right.
So, and it doesn't mean that, when I say that, it doesn't mean that broker dealers, they're bad. It doesn't mean that. It just means that the way that the industry is set up is that it's easy to let the focus not be on the client, but on yourself. But it doesn't mean that all broker dealers are bad people and they don't put you in the, you know, I want to have that disclaimer because I mean, I still put my clients in things that were good, but because of the pay structure, right. you're motivated to get those commission charges. I mean, those commission fees to be able to sustain the business and sustain right. your own life. You know?
Right. So it's one of those things where the incentive is there to help you perform better, but it has an adverse effect on the actual service.
It could potentially have an adverse effect. But yeah, so that's how I got started. I mean, I loved it. You know, being an African American, that was my first time learning about money.
Right,
you know, when I became an African, and people are still shocked to this day that I didn't really learn truly how to even manage money until I became a financial advisor. Although this has been a passion of mine since I was in elementary school, basically because I know the type of podcast we're doing. I'll even take it back further. When I was in fifth grade, I played the stock market at a private school and I was like, this is the best thing ever. Like, you know, right. looking at the newspaper, looking at companies and the tick mark go up and down, a plus one, minus one. And I was like, oh my gosh, I want to do this. And I was searching around my community like, hey guys, I had the money. Like my mom called me a rich child because I was a saver. I saved, probably by the time I was 10, I had about at least $800 saved up.
Wow.
And that's because like my birthday money, I wouldn't spend it.
Right.
I would go around the house and if I saw pennies, I'll pick up so many pennies and I would collect them until they turned into dollars and tens of dollars. And I always had so much money. I would have to iron my money so that it would fit in my money holder, you know? So I was searching and I was like, okay, where can I take this money in and really invest it? But my story is I didn't have anyone.
Right.
I had no one around me who can tell me, okay, Dashari, take your at least $500 that you have and invest it in the stock so that by the time you want to graduate, you'll have money for school. You know, right. I didn't have anyone around me. So that's where my passion comes from. That's I'm like, you know, I want to make sure that there's no one else out there like me who wants to learn, but they don't have the means or the resources to do so.
Yeah.
So went to Howard, majored in finance, still didn't really learn how to invest.
Right.
And so I actually went abroad, taught English, and then came back and then worked for the investment firm I mentioned earlier.
Yeah. Now, one thing I will say that I think I've noticed is that with the African-American community, I know for a fact, like when I was trying to find people to help me with like my retirement and stuff, it's almost like it's non-existent. Like in our community, mm-hmm. It's hard to find mm-hmm. people. So why do you think it's like that?
I think it's generational. I think it's because like our great grandparents, you know, all they knew were to save their, you know, the change that they had, you know, they maybe some of them bought property, maybe some of them didn't. And even if they did, it may have gotten taken from them, you know? So I think it's just, historically it was hard for us to accumulate any type of wealth. And even if we did, it was stolen from us, you know? So if you don't have anything to really pass on to anyone, then you also don't have the knowledge and the advice to pass on with it. So, right. okay, you know, you have money to actually put back. Now you should be able to invest in the market. And then for the longest, we didn't have access, you know, we didn't have access to be able to invest in stocks, bonds, and the things we now have access to. So I think it just goes back to the history of America. And I just thank God that things have changed, you know, so we no longer have those excuses, but it's now just we have to learn for ourselves because we didn't have our great grandparents or even our parents to educate us on those things.
You know, one thing I will say, I think that's happening now with the internet, you know, people doing the podcasting, you know, social media, that people like yourself are able to get out there and say, okay, hey, I'm here to teach you about finances. You know, it's not that difficult. You just got to learn the basic terms and then I'll help you along through it. You know, I always mm-hmm. consider it like doing taxes. It's like I sit mm-hmm. down and I put in the information in the TurboTax and then the little wheel starts spinning and it says, this is your tax return. Or this is how much you owe. And I'm like, well, I have mm-hmm. no idea really how it got there. So I'm just trusting that this software is telling me the right thing. But when it comes mm-hmm. to finances, there's nothing, there's some things out there like that, but it really is more security in knowing like what you're doing, you know?
Right. Yeah. I agree with you. I agree. There's not as many, even today, you know, in 2017, there's still not a lot of systems out there to help you automate or even educate you on personal finance.
Right.
I'm seeing a big push and a big move towards learning more about, even like within a high school, even locally, I'm seeing more of it, which I'm really glad that we're moving in that direction. But you're right. And so I think that's why it's our responsibility as financial experts in our area to put information out there. But the difficulty that I see is that because what I do is so customized and personalized, mm-hmm. I legally can't, it's hard for me to give general advice.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And people really need personal advice, you know? So that's a challenge that I'm faced with. Okay, I want to put out this information, but at the same time, this is not good for everyone. And I don't want the wrong person to take this advice right. and apply it and they end up in a worse situation, you know? So I think sometimes as a professional, our hands are tied a little bit, but that's why I recommend for people to seek professional help, you know, just like right. you would for your doctor's appointment. You're not going to try to go right, and right. self-diagnose yourself.
That's exactly what I was getting ready to say. That's exactly what I was going to say. It's like going to the doctor.
Exactly. You know, I think that I tell people, if you pay for my services, you're actually investing in yourself, which you'll see a return.
Right.
You know, so I think that another thing with our community and just people in general, sometimes who are, you know, even having money discussions are new for them, paying for such a service or paying for good advice is a challenge in itself. And I think that in order for you to be in a better situation, you need to be willing to pay to learn things that you don't know, you know?
Right. Yeah, and that's really difficult for a lot of people, especially in the African-American community. But I'm going to go mm-hmm. farther than that. In the middle class, it is like it's difficult when you say, OK, I've got $1,500 left over at the end of the month. You know, mm-hmm. going to savings, and then I have Tashari telling me I've got to invest, you know, 800 of that. But, you know, then I don't have any money to really have any fun with, you know, then mm-hmm. it is really hard to sell somebody on something that is so far out in the future.
You're right. You're definitely right. And so I think that for me, what has been successful for me is like, that's why we talk about goals. You know, we talk about goals and we talk about mindset. Like in our very first appointment, that's what I go over. Like I go over, okay, what are your goals? Right. And then if your goals, as far as if your goals are attainable or achievable, that's up to you and your mindset. So I never tell someone like, oh, well, that's not possible. You know, like I don't care if you tell me you want to retire as a billionaire. I'm like, okay, let's figure out how we can do it. And do you have the mental capacity to achieve that? You know?
Right.
So I think that once you figure out where your goals are and why you're putting that money back, even if it is 40 years from now, because you have a goal in mind and you know that, okay, by me putting away X amount of dollars every month, by the time retirement it's gonna give me, you know, $1.5 million so that now I can actually retire financially independent and right. now I don't have to find a part-time job because I don't have enough money in retirement. So I think that by bringing it to the current date of what you want now for your future really has helped the different discussions that I have with potential clients that end up coming on as clients.
Yeah. And you threw out the number 1.5 million. And I know like for the majority of the people, they're going to be like, oh my God, that's how much I got to have saved up. You know, it's like they can't wrap their head around it. And then
right.
the goal right. is so huge to them that they just give up,
right.
you know, before they walk out your office, like, you know, I ain't gonna be able to do that. You know, it's hard, you know, even with me, and I consider myself, you know, intelligent and a little bit well off with my businesses that I own. Even this hearing you say that, it sends gets me a little uncomfortable, you know, $1.5 million I got to have in the bank. And I know I'm nowhere near that right now, you know, so. So what is some of the things that you try to do with your clients to get them to see that possibility, that it's not really a possibility that it can really happen, them getting that 1.5?
Yeah, honestly, what we do is we sit down and after we go over the goal setting, we look at their current situation. Okay, like how much money are you currently making? How much money can you actually put back for, and that money you can put back just for the next 6 months to 12 months. I mean, put back for the next 40 years, you know, like to help build up towards your portfolio for the next 40 years. And then I take that number and then I say, okay, well, we need to get about, you know, 10% interest. Let's do an average of 8. Let's say 8 average. I like to be a little more conservative. So I'll say maybe like 6 to 8% or something like that. And I'll show them. I'll say, okay, well, if you do this with an initial investment of X amount of dollars, I can get you $1 million. Right. You know? And so it's honestly, it's because it is very obtainable. Like people don't, I know it's like 1.5. It's like, I'm nowhere near that. But what people don't take into consideration is compound interest.
There we go.
So compound interest is how I help you make money while you sleep. It's not you, just your money you're putting away. It's about the money you earn on top of your money. And not the money you're earning because of the hours you're working, but money that just because you are investing in companies, and when you invest in these companies, you become ownership of these companies. And if they do well, your money's going to do well as well. And so I think that is the concept that I always want to preach. That's the thing what I always try to educate people on, because it's not like your dollars you put away every month has to equal 1.5. Is the money you put away on top of compound interest, and compound interest is money just doubling and keeps doubling every year. And then by the time, you know, 40 years from now, it's not that difficult for right. you to have a 1.5. Now, the difficulty is if you wait until you're 55. Right. If you wait till you're 55 and then you try to get that 1.5, well, then yes, you are going to have more of what you put back is going to have to equal that 1.5. But that's why I really like to work with the younger population, because if you start at the age of 18, you put away $62 a month,
right.
you can have $1 million in retirement easy just right. by putting away $62 a month with, you know, getting about 10% compound interest. So it's more than obtainable. We just have to get started. Honestly, the truth of the matter is you have to get started. And then a lot of times, maybe we start on a smaller scale, maybe only start putting back $100, but then every year we increase that, you know, maybe we go a little bit more aggressive in the beginning years where we can get you maybe a higher interest. And then in the latter years, we put back a little bit more, but you may not be as aggressive in your investing. So that compounded, that interest amount may be a little lower, you know? So it's more, I mean, you can do it, you know, but we just have to have a plan. And then honestly, with my clients, I even go over and beyond that. So because I am an entrepreneur, I own my business. I encourage people to be entrepreneurs. So I talk to my clients, okay, what are you passionate about? They're like, okay, I'm interested in this. I'm like, okay, let's figure out how we can help you make money in that passion that you have. Right. Because there's no reason for you not to be making money off your passion. You know?
Right.
Even if it's just a part-time thing, I don't mean you have to be a full-time entrepreneur, but with my top clients, that's what we do. I have them set up businesses and nonprofits to also give them additional streams of income that's also going to help them in retirement as well.
Now let's dive into that a little bit, which, you know, I talked to multiple people in the consulting and things and people who want to be entrepreneurs, and they all think, well, I don't have the ability to quit my full-time job to do, you know, to chase this, this dream or to try to get something accomplished. And you mentioned something just then that made a whole lot of sense, which a lot of people don't understand. You do not have to quit your job to get another stream of income coming in.
Right, right. And I don't encourage it. I did that, you know?
Right.
It made life a lot more difficult. And which, I mean, I feel like it was meant for me to do that, but I don't encourage it for anybody else unless you feel like such a huge push of leap of faith to do so.
Right.
But honestly, I feel like everyone should be an entrepreneur in their own right, meaning have your full-time job, have your career that you love, but then always diversify your income by having another stream of income, which it could be something that only takes you about, you know, 10 hours a month, you know?
Right.
But you own it. So in the case that, you know, you're in between jobs, you still have money coming in. And then if anything happens where you end up liking your part-time passion or you're making money more so than your full-time career, well, then you can make that transition and it'll be easy for you to do it. And what people don't understand is there's so many people making so much money. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's just like mind-blowing the amount. I mean, like, I went to this conference back in October, and it was a bloggers conference, people who blog about financial topics.
Mm-hmm.
And there were so many millionaires in the room, you know, and they they're making so, and people who aren't even millionaires, but they're making, you know, $10,000 a month from blogging.
Right.
So I really feel like it's just, that's why I help my clients with the mindset first. Like my motto is to Shari Financial Group, it's a mindset, because people don't have financial independence because they don't believe that they can have it. Once you believe that, the financial independence, when I say financial independence, I mean like you don't have any debt and you actually have a positive net worth, you know? So just so people know what that means. And so you can achieve it as long as you believe you can, because once you believe you can and then you put a dollar amount on that, a lot of other things are going to come. You know, you're going to start attracting, I believe in, you know, being able to attract the things that you believe are possible for you. And so that's the type of people I work with, you know, like they may come to me like not believing that they can even put any money back. And so after leaving my office, they're like, wow, I need you, you know, like I definitely need you. Now that they are willing to commit and work with me, that's another thing. But just to help them elevate their mindset is the number one thing.
Like, I wanted to go back to when you said you started your own business. So as being an entrepreneur, what was the most scary thing that you felt when you left your full-time job to start your own business?
The number one fear, I'm trying to think back now. At that time, what was my fear? My fear was, honestly, I was more afraid to work for someone than to start my own at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But to try to gear more towards, I know what you're asking. Honestly, I have to be very honest. Like, my number one fear was for it to not work and then for me then to have to go back and work for someone. Honestly, that was my number one fear. So that's why it took me like 2 years from the time I quit my corporate job to actually having, it took me 2 years, and I worked a lot of odd-end jobs until I was able to do it. But I kept doing it even though it took me 2 years, because I just knew I wanted to have my own business. And so working for someone else was ultimately my fear, honestly.
Yeah. And for like a lot of true entrepreneurs, they just cannot, you know, just like, look, I got to be able to die on my own sword, so to speak. You know, if a mistake happens, you know, it's on me. And if my check is short this month, it's because something I did wrong, but I also learned from it, not what somebody else did wrong. And then you're trying to get them to figure out what, you know, the lesson, and they just won't learn it. Then it keeps happening over and over again. So I definitely understand your mindset on that. So my next question for you is, what is the biggest myth or thing that you just hate dealing with when you're dealing with people in the financial arena?
You mean people who are like myself or people who are
in general, like what's one of the biggest myths that you hear about that's dealing with finances that's just completely not true?
I think one thing, as far as like when people watch TV and they'll watch these TV personalities who are supposed to be like financial experts.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of times they take their advice, but my issue with that is that they're giving mass advice, you know, like this is advice they're giving to the mass population.
Right.
And so a lot of times if they're telling you about an investment at that very moment of time, it's not, I would never invest in that company that they're telling you to invest in while they're live on TV, because you have probably millions of people watching the same thing,
right,
and they're gonna invest. So it's gonna cause the price to go up, and you're not gonna be really getting it at a good time, you know?
Right.
So I think that's like the number one thing. I'll hear people say, oh, well, this major TV personality said I should do this. I'm thinking like, oh man, I wish they, you know, like, I wish people knew, like, these are people who are hired. A lot of times they're hired by companies. So a lot of times what they say is to promote something, even
right,
though we hate to say that. We hate to think that, you know, they're kind of, sometimes they're like being puppets, and they're, you know, they're being paid to say a certain thing. But the
right,
truth of the matter is they're on TV, you know, they're on TV and they're getting paid by a network, or they're getting paid, you know, to promote a certain message. So
right,
I think that's like the number one thing, like really focus on someone who can give you more personal information than just getting general information from some TV personality.
Yeah. I've noticed that too. Like when I watched, I think his name was Kramer, and he'll be talking about certain things. And I remember when the IPO for Snapchat came out, and everybody was posting on Instagram, like I'm getting in on Snapchat. I was like, well,
oh God.
I was like, well, okay. I said, did you look at the business of Snapchat? You know,
right,
did you understand what Snapchat is doing versus what Instagram is doing? Are you looking at what Instagram is doing? It's like, on one hand, I'm glad, you know, people of the culture, so to speak, was finally trying to get into the financial game of putting their money in something. But it's like, did you really research it, or was it a knee jerk reaction to invest into
right,
Snapchat? And I think it, like, within 3 days, it fell like, you know, $4 or $5. So there was some people
right,
out there that lost a lot of money. And there's also some people that made a lot of money on the front side of it, of course, you know. So.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You're exactly right. And I saw the same thing with, you know, Facebook, you know, like that's
right,
when I was working in corporate America, and I had those clients that insisted on buying Facebook when it first went public. And even though, you know, you advise one thing, you know, sometimes people want to do another thing. So yeah, you're exactly right.
Right.
That's a very prime example of what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I tend to look at things like say with Snapchat or Facebook, is after the IPO and the dust settles and it finally settles at a baseline, that's most likely the best time to come in there, because it's not going to dip too far, you know, after that. And then it's, if you recognize the business and the business model, it could just go up from there, but not like a drastic $4 or $5, so to speak, you know. So what is some of the other positive things or positive stories that you, without mentioning your names, that you would like to talk about with your clients?
As far as like investment advice?
Right. Like if you like taking a family from, you know, $100 extra a month to now they have $50,000 extra due to some of the advice and things that you was able to give them.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing is I've only been in business for a little over 2 years. So like, the portfolios aren't, I mean, they're doing well, but I haven't had anyone like double or triple their money. But
right,
I mean, just things of like, you know, seeing my clients get, you know, having their money increase every month. And it's just based on what I have them invested in. So on like a small scale, like, you know, having someone put in an initial investment of like $500 and then, you know, and within 30 days or within, you know, 30 to 90 days, I see that $500 go to like $30. And it doesn't sound, it's not exciting. That's like
right,
something
right,
I come across all the time, like, oh wow, like that's it. Like, yeah, that's it. But that's like $30 you didn't work for, you know, and that's
right,
$30 just has grown since, you know, having money invested in the market. And, I mean, it's been like these past several months have been really good for the market. Like my clients like, oh, Tashari, like I see, you know, it's in the green. I'm like, yeah, that's good. But the thing is, it is kind of like a market wide right now.
Right.
But one thing I will say is that by having your money diversified in a, like an ETF, or if you're just getting started at like a mutual fund,
mm-hmm,
it's going to be a better investment than just a stock. Because I know, like, right now we hear so many people who are just getting in the market and, like, they want to buy a stock. And I feel like if unless you have a lot of extra money just laying around, talking about, like, $5,000+ just really laying around and you don't need this for retirement, this is, like, your play money, then I would recommend, okay, buying individual stocks. But until you get to that point, I would highly recommend for you to invest in exchange-traded funds because they're going to give you that diversification and a little more security, meaning, I'm not going to say security, a little bit more leverage as far as being spread across different industries than just buying, like, one stock.
Right.
You know, so I see that a lot. I see a lot of times people putting, like, all their eggs in one basket when it comes to even, like, something like Bitcoin, you know?
Right.
So, like, make sure that you know what you're doing. Make sure that your money is diversified. And make sure you're investing based on, like, your risk tolerance. Because the reason why I say, like, not everything is good for someone, because someone else may be, you know, maybe a very risk averse, you know, meaning that they don't want to take on a lot of risk. Because no matter what you invest in, there's going to be fluctuation. I watch my clients' investments every day and I'm like, whew, you know, I'm even like, oh gosh, it's down, you know, it's down. It may be only down by like 0.5%, but I'm like, oh no, it's down, you know. So some people can't stomach that. And if you pull it at the wrong time, you can lose a lot more money than you should. So my advice is to, like, make sure that you are investing in things based on how you handle fluctuation in the market. And also, a lot of times people don't even look at companies that's been around for a long time. A lot of times we get excited about these new companies. Me, typically, I like to invest in companies that are 10 plus years old and are actually paying you money to invest in them, that they're actually paying a dividend. So I like to invest in companies that are actually paying a dividend. And that's been around for multiple decades, and they've withered many storms like the Great Depression or like the market crash of 08 or 01. And I believe that, okay, if something does happen, like, they'll be able to weather that storm as well, you know?
Right. Now, you mentioned Bitcoin, and I was talking to my wife about it. I said, you know, what's funny is that I remember when Bitcoin first came out, and I was like, I can't imagine myself investing money into imaginary money. You know, it's like it doesn't exist. It's like it's imaginary money. Right. You know, it's like, and you know, then movies will come out and people was in the movies in the black market. You know how the movies are. You know, they're using Bitcoin and stuff like that. I was like, I'm still not touching it, you know. And now everybody just, as soon as you turn on Facebook or you get on TV, they're talking about Bitcoin. And now to me, I feel like, is this a bubble that's about to burst? Because at the end of the day, can you go to the bank and pull your money out? And I don't know. There's a whole lot of things that I do not know about it. So, so how are you familiar with Bitcoin and how it works?
I am familiar with Bitcoin. I'm familiar with how it works. But I don't know if it's hard for me to say if it's a great investment for everyone. Hello, can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can still hear you. Yes.
Okay, I just got a call. I don't know if that was you calling. Honestly, I'm not sure about it either. And this is what I say to people. Whether or not it's a good investment for you, I'm not sure. Now, it's not something that I would recommend for a client just because of the uncertainty that I have, you know?
Right.
Now, if you decide on your own you want to invest in it, hey, go for it. Once again, if you have the extra money laying around, I'm talking about not your mortgage money, not your car payment. I'm talking not like money that you need on a monthly basis, not even money you need for your emergency fund. But if this is truly like this extra money you have laying around and you want to invest in it, you know, check it out. You know, I don't know. And then when you invest, and maybe you can start small, you know, like you don't have to buy one entire Bitcoin. You can buy fractions of Bitcoin, you know?
Right.
So I say, you know, because I hear all the time, I know people who are investing in it who are doing well, but at the same time, honestly, no one knows. One knows if this is going to be a bubble that bursts, or is it going to be something where, you know, you invest in and you make money. You won't know until it is or it isn't, you know?
Right.
Now, people who already invested in it, you know, if you had invested in it 5 years ago, yes, you would have gotten some crazy returns, over 200, 200% returns. But that's also, once again, if you're selling it, you know. So right. I don't know. I'm still unsure about Bitcoin. Yeah,
it's got that multi-level marketing like feel to it. Like it's, if you got in it early, you could get some good money, but now people get in there, it's like you could get a little bit, but like you said, a lot of people don't know. And I'm willing to, and I'm honest to say, I do not know, you know, so, and I tend to try to stay away from things. If I can't wrap my head around it, you know, it's like, you know what? I'll just stay away from it.
Mm-hmm. Well, cause I know some leading tech people who are in it, you know, who right. are in like the blockchain management in itself. And honestly, I think like blockchain is huge. I think it's only going to grow. Mm-hmm. Now where Bitcoin or what it has now, they have like light crypto.
Right.
I mean, and one thing is Bitcoin is just like a brand name for cryptocurrency, and there's other cryptocurrencies out there. Man, I think that with cryptocurrency, there's definitely probably going to be a place for it. I mean, it already is. I think it will grow, but where Bitcoin comes into the play of that, I honestly, I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay.
So as we wind down on the podcast, is there anything that you would like to mention about what you're doing and how to get in touch with you? I know you're in Lexington, Kentucky, so can you do things remotely? You know, how does your business work?
Mm-hmm. So one thing is I work with successful entrepreneurs and I work with professional athletes. And I feel like really they're two of the same to a degree, you know?
Right.
And for me, I like to work with people who either have the money or have the mindset to be able to achieve some type of financial, I would just even start with financial independence, you know?
Right.
So for me, I'm really more selective on who I work with, but to get in contact with me, you can definitely email me at info@tasharifinancialgroup.com or just hit me up on Instagram. I'm very, very active on Instagram and on Facebook. You can find me on pretty much any of the social media @Tashari_financial or @Tashari_fin on Twitter. But so if you are definitely, you know, an entrepreneur or even a student athlete, I work with student athletes who are going pro. Definitely feel free to contact me. Or if you just have any questions, because I do go live sometimes, if you have any questions, you can definitely feel free to ask me on any of my social media pages.
All right. Wow, that was very informative. So I look forward forward to contacting you and have you back on the show in a couple more months to see how things are going. And this is your host, with Conquering Dreams, CB Baker. The next time.